you do not understand white supremacy, what it is, and how it works, everything else that you do understand will confuse you. In all of these nine areas of activity, economics, education, entertainment, labor, law, politics, religion, sex, and war, anywhere on the planet, minute by minute, day by day, all of the time, all of the time.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the December the 21st edition of the Counter Racist Code Show, also called the CRCS, with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., and I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby. Welcome again to the show. If you would like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling 516-453-9921. Be sure to press the number one button if you have a question or a VGQ. We would ask that you would make it short and to the point. You don't have to be so analytical about it. Just ask the question so that Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. can answer your question in a timely manner. Now, bear in mind that Mr. Fuller does use extensive examples trying to make it clear to what he's trying to answer your question, because the one thing that he does not want is for a person to be confused, and then we are seeking constructive results. For those who are new to the program, you will hear various terms such as that, constructive results, VGQ. You may even hear the term, I don't know. You're liable to hear a lot of different things. You don't have to agree with anything that you hear, but we would ask that you would use logic in whatever you're reasoning for your particular position. Use logic. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. I would recommend that you not use that, because we are stacked up with Gmails, and I'm going to attempt, as I did last week, to read as many as I can. Chances are, if you do Gmail me, chances are they won't be read today, but you that is an option for you. And you can also enter into the chat room. All you have to do is go to blogtalkradio.com and click on the Produce Justice icon. And then once you do that, for Produce Justice shows, and then once you do that, there's a place there where you can enter into the chat room. And there are some very interesting questions that go on in the chat room, and you're welcome to join the conversation. You're welcome to do that, and they will chat up whatever is going on. There occasionally may be something that is said that I may take out from the chat room and put it out there. Chances are it won't be, but you're certainly welcome to use that. All righty. And, oh, yes, and when you do call and you do have something to say, make sure that you give your name to this call screener so that I can look on the screen and get it done, so that your question can be addressed. I think that's all I have to do. Again, this is the December the 21st edition of the Counter Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller. And speaking of that, let me start off again by saying good morning, Mr. Fuller, and how are you this day?
Good morning. I'm still learning.
Okay. Sounding strong. Sounding very, very strong. Okay, Mr. Fuller, let's start off in the Gmail. This is way back, comes from Mr. Theodore Rush. I believe this is a VGQ, but he would like to call this to your attention. He says, quote, or has written, the remains of black children killed in the MOVE bombing used in Ivy League classes. He says, the city of Philadelphia apologized for causing immeasurable and enduring harm. the University of Pennsylvania and Princeton University are facing backlash for using the remains of black children killed in the MOVE bombing in their Ivy League courses. The city of Philadelphia bombed MOVE, a black liberation group, on May the 13th, 1985, with a device that is generally used in combat and used water cannons after a days-long standoff. Former Mayor W. Wilson Good Sr. approved the deadly use of force, which resulted in the deaths of five children and MOVE's founder. The Philadelphia Fire Department further let the fire spread, and 60 homes were ultimately destroyed in the predominantly black neighborhood. Last year, Philadelphia apologized for causing, quote, immeasurable and enduring harm, end of quote. However, the tragedy is once again being brought up in the public conscious, as it has been revealed that the remains of the victims have been used in classes at the University of Pennsylvania and Princeton without permission. Billy Penn first reported this. Mr. Fuller, in 1985, do you recall that particular situation, and is this typical of what white supremacists do?
I recall it, and I have some details about it in my memory, and it's to be expected in answer mm-hmm. to the question. We're in mm-hmm. a war. Now, you mentioned the type of weapons that we use, and the result is the type of thing that happens in a war. And we are in a war. Racism is war, W-A-R. You equate automatically racism with war. And black people worldwide in the system of white supremacy, according to compensatory counter-racist logic, are all prisoners of war. So you expect any type of horrible thing to happen in a prison camp, a death camp, if you use the parallels of and examples of World War II, where they had death camps set up. Well, the whole world has been made a death camp for prisoners of war, of people who are classified as non-white, in the system of white supremacy. The system of white supremacy itself, racism, is war, W-A-R, in bold letters. You don't equate it with anything else or anything else less than war. And so expect the same things to happen in any war to happen in the system of white supremacy. The system of white supremacy, war, the system of white supremacy. The longest war. People started talking about the length of wars, Afghanistan war, the 30 years war. The longest war has been the war between those people who believe in white supremacy and those who don't.
All righty. Okay. Thank you, Theodore, for your question. And then we go to, he goes by the name of Drake, but also Anthony McKen from England wrote this, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, lower-level whites are always sacrificed by more powerful whites within the system, yet masses of lower-level whites defend the actions of more powerful whites no matter how harmful. Lower-level whites are sometimes rebellious against the system when it inconveniences them, but these same lower-level whites mistreat non-whites daily, and they are virulent in their opposition toward black people receiving justice. Mr. Fuller, can you please talk about the role of lower of lower-level whites and or white sacrifices under the system of white supremacy, should we be always conscious that oftentimes they play both sides of the fence?
Well, yes, we should be conscious, but they're not playing both sides of the fence. White people have to make a decision at an early age. Are you going to support white supremacy or not? Yes or no? And most white people say, well, what is it? What is it that I'm in? What was I born into? You were born into a system of white supremacy. Now, either you're going to report the system or support the system you were born into, which is to your advantage, or you're going to reject it and start talking about some abstraction called justice. Now, make up your mind. There's a lot of conveniences, a lot of benefits that go with being white at any level. And there are levels of being white when it comes to benefits, which we argue among ourselves. That's the way we're set up. We are hierarchy. But you will always be considered a priority person when compared with the black people, except when sometimes we might have to use a few of what counter-racist science says is a white sacrifice for the greater good of the system of white supremacy. Now, this is the proposal that is put to every white person from the time that they're born. Somewhere along the way, they're not told that, you know, the day that they're born, and they couldn't comprehend it. But as soon as they begin to comprehend how the real world is run, every white person makes it clear, directly and indirectly, to their offspring or to younger white people worldwide, you are in a position of strength. Now, do you want to hold this position of strength because it's based on racism? Or do you want to sacrifice yourself on the altar of some abstraction, some hope for a thing, something that doesn't exist anywhere among any people, and that is something called justice? Now, you want to turn in your benefits for that and be struggling all the time or not? And most white people say, well, if you got a machine that's already off and running, and I'm a part of that machine, and it has more benefits than any other machine that I could possibly be wedded to, I'll just stay wedded to it. I'll take the easier route. See, now, it's a vicious machine, this system of white supremacy, political and religious, you name it, in all areas of activity, law, sex, and it's violent, and it deprives people. Now, do you want to stay aboard? Because you're already aboard. You're automatically born into it. So you automatically have your ticket in your hand. You don't have to get a train ticket. I mean, you sign up for it or go through any kind of test. If you're white, you're qualified. You're already in it. Now, do you want to reject it? Do you want to get out of this army or not? Because you're born in the army. And most white people say, well, no. But then they're told, in answer to the question, that every now and then now, you may be called on to make more sacrifices than other white people in this hierarchy we have called the system of white supremacy. I mean, we have to call up a few people to be sacrificed for the greater good of the system itself. Now, you're willing to go along with that. Chances are you won't be making very much of a sacrifice. It'll certainly be, for the most part, whatever sacrifice you make, you'll still be better off than the average black. black person on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So now, do you want to turn in your white credentials or not? And the average white person says, no, I'm not going to turn them in, even if I have to make some sacrifices or make the supreme sacrifice. I mean, give up my existence. I don't want to, but when I consider all the options and all the benefits that I'll have until I make that sacrifice, I'm not moving a muscle to change this system. And so in answer to the question, I took a roundabout route, like I do in most answers to the question. That's the way it's set up. So in answer to the question, yes, all white supremacists are equal, regardless of those who are on what you might call tobacco road and who don't have much of anything, those who are sleeping on a park bench. Within the system of white supremacy, they are equal in the sense that they are in the same army. Think of the system of white supremacy as being a system of white supremacy as being an army. And in an army, you have generals who might be very physically comfortable, more comfortable than, say, a person who is ranked as a private. But they're still in the same army.
Mm-hmm.
And as any soldier would tell you, they'll say, hey, I'm not the enemy of the general, because he's up there riding around in a Jeep all day just waving at people and inspecting things. But when he goes to bed at night, he's got servants and everything else. I don't have that. I'm on KP. I'm washing dishes. I'm scrubbing floors. I'm scrubbing the deck of this ship. I mean, I'm not up there with the admiral just sitting around sipping coffee and chatting about our next battle and the last battle and, you know, and how tough things are. And I'm down here on my watch, bleary-eyed, weary, all the time, freezing to death. I mean, you know, walking the deck of the ship. But I'm still a part of the same Navy. And that's how you look at the system of white supremacy.
Yes,
according
sir.
To what? Logic.
Logic. Okay. Let's go to the phone lines and let's go into Houston and let's see if I can get this up here. Okay, John, you are up with Mr. Fuller. What is your question, please?
Grand Rising gentlemen, Mr. Bobby and Mr. Fuller Jr., I'd also make the comment that the Atlanta child murders should be stacked, racked, and packed alongside the remains of the moved children in Philadelphia. I don't know whether you would consider this a VGQ, because this time of the year, allegedly, 'tis the season, it's whether you believe in a white baby in a manger or a fat white man climbing down your chimney, an alleged pedophile or child molester. But when we're in this seasonal thinking of whiteness is rightness, and let us bow our heads and pray that we can give up at least half of our year's salary and existence to let the market, the merchants, and the mercantilism get its, the only time of the year positively considered blackness is in the black. How do you see that that is a part of the actual infrastructure, the operations of white supremacy, and the getting us stretched and laid out on the rack to continue to support this for 2022 and beyond? And thank you for the time, and good morning to both of you gentlemen. I'm still learning.
Okay. All right, John, we'll keep you on the line here. Mr. Fuller?
In the system of white supremacy, if a person is a white supremacist, everything that a white supremacist does is to give strength to the system of white supremacy. They don't celebrate anything unless it's going to give strength to the system of white supremacy. And the prisoners of war, the victims of white supremacy, black people, you know, when you're in their prison camp, they'll ask you to participate in the Christmas celebration. And you can look at your fellow prisoner and say, well, we're behind bars. We're in a death camp. Are we going to participate? Are we going to, in the celebrations that they're having up there in the warden's office? Are we not? They say, well, are we going to benefit from it? They know they want us to do some harder work, put up some decorations and all like that. Well, according to the code, counter-racist science, that's a call for each individual to make. But the code says, as a prisoner of war in the system of white supremacy, if you're black and on this planet, you don't celebrate anything ever until the end of the system of white supremacy.
Correct.
And you don't celebrate then, because too many people have suffered and died before you. So it just calls for a solemn acknowledgement that the system has now been replaced with a system of justice at last. But there's no hallelujahs there. There's too many people, too many millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of people who have sacrificed and died in agonizing death under this system of white supremacy.
Yes.
So there, when it is finally over on the day, when you look around and say, well, no more racism. I mean, we finally have peace. No more racism. We finally have justice. It's not supposed to be a celebration then. It's a grim recognition of it should have come a long time ago.
Long time ago. Yes, sir.
You just breathe a sigh of relief.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but for this Christmas, what you call this, no celebration. Black people shouldn't be celebrating anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you go according to the counter-racist code, counter-racist science, you don't celebrate. This is not ho-ho-ho time.
A question in the chat room by Swa said this before you even mentioned it, Mr. Fuller. He says, is being in a death camp really living?
No. Black people don't live. We exist all over the world, including black people who have a lot of money. Why? Because you're in an artificial situation, something made up called the system of white supremacy, where people are harmed based on color. Just being in that system alone poisons everything. There's nothing that's not poison in every area of activity. For everybody in the field of economics, Education is poison, all of it. They're talking about some CRT trying to single that out. No, it's poisonous from top to bottom. The education system, why? Because it's all supportive of the system of white supremacy. Entertainment, same thing. Labor, same thing. Law, same thing. Politics, religion, sex, and of course, it's all war, the ninth area of activity. We're trying to muster a counter war against it in our own feeble ways, and it hasn't been successful. But everything is in place. It's supportive of what's already in place and the anchor for everything that people do on the planet. And that is this evil system. It's an evil system called the system of white supremacy. Now, it does produce material things. It's very efficient when it comes to handling things, no system has proven itself superior to the system of white supremacy when it comes to producing products in the form of things. But the products that it produces in the form of people, interacting with people, the way that people should interact with people, it is a total failure because it's intended to be a total failure. They brag about that. That's why the system of white supremacy incorporates and glorifies what? Murder more than anything. Even at Christmas time, a lot of people are going to get a lot of books and videotapes and whatnot and look at a lot of programs of combat, of murder, of bloodshed. A lot of toys are in the form of what? Getting ready to kill somebody. Water guns. Bang, bang, bang. I shot you first. Fall down, you dead. Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
Okay. Ho, ho, ho. Before I'm going to get to you, Marcus, here. As a matter of fact, let me do this because this one's going to be long. You are listening to the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. here on blogtalkradio.com. This show will be reproduced almost immediately after we conclude this broadcast on producejustice.com, where you can also get the books and all the materials and any of the information relating to Mr. Fuller can be found at producejustice.com. That is producejustice.com. I was told this morning that all the books are in, so you need to do that. If you need to get books, Mr. Fuller will talk about that, where you can get the books and all the related information. Thank you for listening to the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. Okay, for those who are new to the program, you can simply dial 516-453-9921. If you have a quick question and a quick VGQ, which you will hear that term a lot during this two-hour window that we have to broadcast, just make it quick so that Mr. Fuller can answer your question. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. I would not do that because I'm really stacked up with Gmails because we take calls first, so my list continually grows, but I am making or efforting to address those Gmails as in a most expeditious way that I can. So some of them have been dated, but I try to get to them before the machine automatically eliminates them. You can also go in the chat room if you'd like to get into the chat, which sometimes chats are read as one has been already read and addressed, and you're able to join the conversation there. Just simply go to blogtalkradio.com. You want to go and hit the where it says the shows menu, the Produce Justice Show. And once you do that, there is an icon there or something that where you can enter into the chat room. I think Helen B69 helped me get that information along with a few others, but you're welcome to do it there. Okay, Mr. Fuller, let's see here. Let's go. Speaking about the chat room, I don't know if this is VGQ or not, but here we go. This says, this person crushed the system is the title or name. It says, Mr. Fuller is an older person with lots of experience. However, he is wrong in some areas. We black Africans, Moors, have not been victims of the longest wars. Females, children, the financially poor, the ignorant have been the longest wars. The war on our people started when the Aryans from Iran invaded the Indus Valley and put that racist, in quotations, misnomer, caste system in. Then Alexander the Great invaded Kemet, today called Egypt, and put a system of colorism in place. Mr. Fuller, do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about it, and this is all information. If someone, I've heard a lot about Moore's science, the existence of it, and that's as far as my knowledge goes. And I understand that many people who say that they are into Moore's science, that they have said that people like Neely Fuller need to be in the Moore's science, and then no more problems. That's been what's implied, no more problems. You get in the Moore's science, no more problems. It's all over. You're not subject to anybody. You're not victimized by anybody. That could be true. So the code says under VGQ, everybody's hearing this. They're hearing it on this program right now, that Neely Fuller's in error, and I don't mind admitting error. And I'll say that, of course, I haven't taken the time to look into it. Maybe I'm just too ignorant to do it. But from the evidence that I see of what black people are in worldwide, I'm saying that anybody who says they have the solution, and if Moore's science is the solution, then look into Moore's science. That's the codified procedure. It's just that I have spent so much time doing what I am doing now. And so I invite people to look into Moore's science. Maybe that's the key. Maybe there's some book or some, Moore's writings and whatnot, and studying the history of the Moors. I've heard about the Moors, haven't been defeated, and I've heard that, and don't come under the system of white supremacy ever. I've heard that, but I don't know whether or not I would think that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
If you're black, when I'm saying that if you're black, you are under the system of white supremacy. Now, that may not be true. We may find out that there are some people called Moors who don't listen to nothing that the white supremacists say, don't depend on them for nothing, don't have to look for them for nothing, because that's what white supremacy means. You ask that question, which way did the white people go? Because I got to eat. I got to have this. I got to get on an airplane. Do I ride airplanes that white people let me ride under the system of white supremacy? Or do I ride the airplanes that black people who are into some type of black science, do they manufacture these planes? Do they ride these planes? Do they do they have some kingdom somewhere that I'm not aware of? Ignorant people like Neely Fuller are not aware of these mysterious kingdoms that exist right now in 2021. And all we have to do is just pack our bags and forget about going on some Christmas celebration visiting Aunt Jenny. Take off and go to one of these kingdoms that are set up that few people know about, but being told about, when you find out about them, you should make a beeline to where these places are, where these people are, where you are no longer subject to the system of white supremacy. I haven't heard the exact location yet.
Okay.
That's where the problem comes. I don't know where this is located. I hear about it, like I hear about Oz, but I don't know exactly where it is. Shangri-La, Paradise. I don't know how to get there.
Yes, sir. Fine. All right. That was in the chat room. Going to New York, Marcus. You are on with Mr. Fuller. What is your question?
Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning, sir.
A quick question. My VGQ is study the economics and the GDP of slavery and racism while studying and learning about fractional reserve lending, mutual funds and stocks, and et cetera. And logic will tell you why the usual suspects told black people then only to have a savings account of whatever they had. And from what I understand, nearing the next calendar year, you can see the exact damage that was done to us. My question is in regards to the Freedmen's Bank. Mr. Fuller, if you can recall, let me just read what I wrote. Mr. Fuller, can you share your thoughts on the events of the Freedmen's Bank, if you do recall that financial institution?
Yeah, I've heard of the Freedmen's Bank and read about it. But all banks and everything else that black people have, land, according to the compensatory counter-racist code, and I say based on evidence, everything that black people call themselves having in the system of white supremacy, which is a worldwide system, they really don't have it. Because whomever has me has whatever it is that I have. And the white supremacists have total domination over me. I haven't seen any evidence of anything else. And so if I got money in what they call a black bank, then a question is raised, who controls the black banks? And whose money is in the black banks, and where does that money come from? And so I worked at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, and I was looking at what is said to be the most powerful money in the world every day, billions and billions and billions of it stacked up. I mean, just like old newspapers. That's what a lot of it looked like. After you get used to it, which takes about a day, you're walking, I mean, between stacks of money that goes up to the ceiling, room after room after room after room of money, 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 money everywhere. And you look at the pictures of the people on that money. And the pictures of the people on that money are white.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them slave owners.
Yes, sir.
Looking at it every day. So when you have what they call, quote, unquote, a freedman's bank, everybody come in grinning, give me some of that money. Yeah. Give me a few of them Jacksons over there. Now, who is Jackson? The slave owner. But we want him. We want them Jacksons in our purse and pockets.
Mm-hmm.
I think that answers the question.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Black people having their own banks in the system of white supremacy. Black people don't have their own anything.
Yes.
According to the evidence. In the
yes.
system of white supremacy, because that's impossible.
It's impossible. And for further information, and someone can please correct me if I'm wrong, I think the Freedmen's Bank, I think it lasted 9 years until somebody can look that up. I don't recall the name, but they went out of business on purpose. It was designed for them to go out of business, but somebody can do a quick research for that. It may be in the chatters can enlighten me on. Yes, that did happen in the Freedmen's Bank. That's what they did. Let's go. Thank you, Marcus, for your question. And you know, don't be a stranger. Okay, hey, we're going to go out to the state of Minnesota. We got the Black Mermaid in the house. Black Mermaid, you got the microphone. Go ahead.
Yes, Mr. Fuller, I would like to ask, so throughout history, did white people in power decide we're not going to treat people of color the way our ancestors did. So we're going to get rid of some of these racist systems to take a moral high ground, or did white supremacy just become more refined?
White supremacy is in the refinement stage now. They're trying to stay that way. But some white supremacists are disagreeing with the refined white supremacists. They're saying, oh, no. See, you all go around and in this refinement stage saying don't call them black people the N-word and don't tell them to their face that they ain't nothing. Pat them on the head. Tell them that they are great. Give a few of them a few millions or a few billions, you know, worldwide. Give them titles. Black people are title crazy. They believe in having about 15 or different titles. Give them a whole lot of slogans. I mean, you know, Black Lives Matter. Black people are beautiful. They're the most beautiful people in the world. I mean, promise them everything and give them absolutely nothing. That's the refine. All right. And then you got another group of white people here in 2021 who are saying, no, let's go back to the old ways. See, you don't have to butter these people up. They ain't got no muscle, no way. Just hit them over the head, kill them, put your knee on their neck, and, you know, ask somebody to take your picture while you're doing it, all right, and just be done with it. I mean, if they give you any lip, shoot them, you know. I mean, stop babying these people. You don't have to. I mean, it's too much work. I mean, dressing them up, telling them that they're somebody, putting them on TV, and giving them jobs behind desks and whatnot, they love, you know, they've been held back so long. You give them any kind of job behind a desk, all of a sudden, I mean, they just go crazy. Okay, so do that. I mean, you know, and they'll just be grinning from ear to ear. And the other said, no, we're tired of that. I mean, you know, besides, it's too costly, unnecessarily costly. I mean, to have these out front Negroes. And we don't need any of them. For anything except to dig ditches and whatnot. So put them right back in the ditch. So you got those two factions. You had those two factions during what they call the Civil War. You've always had that. Gangster operations do have that hierarchy.
Yes.
The system of white supremacy is a gangster operation.
Yes, Mr. Fuller. The information that you gave, the last part, you know, going back to the way it was, is part of what is called a Southern strategy. Southern strategy. I had to look that up and still research that a little bit, but it's part of the Southern strategy. Modern day, it's called Make America Great Again. Yeah. Somebody check that out. 888, maybe you can. Let's do this. Before we go, I'm coming to you. Well, thank you, Black Mermaid. Don't be a stranger. Produce 21 wanted to know quickly, Mr. Fuller, can you ask Mr. Fuller about what we should do to engage in constructive action?
Follow a counter-racist code based on the logic of the universe, not Neely Fuller. Neely Fuller is trying to follow the code. It's already there. The code of the universe means you do things that produce what? Two words, constructive results. That's all. There isn't anything else. Every move you make producing a constructive result, that will terrify the white supremacists more than anything else that black people could ever do. If all black people say, I ain't doing nothing unless it produces a constructive result. You talk about frightening. That's not only frightening, that's putting the system of white supremacy out of business, because the white supremacists depend on black people to always embrace with big grins on their faces. Everything that is non-constructive, everything that we are people who just beg for the entire world to just put us in the middle of every type of trashy thing that you can think of. Everything that's non-constructive, call the black people in and dump them in on it. And dump them right in the middle of it, and they're just as happy as they can be. We train them that way. So all we have to do in answer to the question is start saying, you know, if you want to use a benchmark, beginning of 2022, I'm not participating in anything unless you can show me where it's going to produce two words, constructive results.
Constructive results.
Period.
Absolutely.
I don't care what it is. Don't call me if it's not going to produce a constructive result. I'm not interested.
Okay.
Every black person on the planet say that. The white supremacists, you talk about terror. I mean, they're saying, hey, they're talking about our complete destruction. That's white supremacists. Black people being constructive. That's not supposed to happen, ever. Unless they're constructive for our benefit.
Okay. Speaking about benefit, Mr. Fuller, give us the benefit of your book and how people can get it. And somebody keeps asking, what is the name of your book or your publication? So the floor is yours.
Well, it's a long title. I got three titles there. The United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, that's the basic overall umbrella title. Compensatory Counter-Racist Code, and one that's more explicit and right to the point, a textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of white supremacy. A textbook workbook for thought, speech, and or action for victims of white supremacy, which is racism. Now, you can get the book by going to producejustice.com. If you can't think of anything else, just think of producejustice.com and go to it on your computer, and all the information is right there. producejustice.com. And that simplifies it. Anything that you're interested in that has to do with anything that Neely Fuller is doing, that's the first step. Go to producejustice.com, and everything else falls right in place.
That's right.
What I've been told.
Yes, sir. Okay, there you have it for those that are new. producejustice.com for all your questions, all the information that you need. This book, there are three books. Is that correct, Mr. Fuller?
Yes, there are three volumes. I always
say
three
volumes,
the same book.
I
say one problem, one book.
Okay.
That's how the world, whole world should work. I mean, we shouldn't have these zillions of books about problem solving. We really shouldn't have that. I mean, I would throw my book into the pile of recycling. If somebody can just come up with one book, hey, everything you want to know about racism, what it is and how it works, and how to get rid of it is in this book.
Okay.
In detail.
That's
really what we need. Ultimately, I'd like to just contribute to whatever that project would be, but I would like to walk around with just one volume in my hand that's worldwide, that applies everywhere, all the time. You can find whatever it is. If you're black, you can find something in there, in some chapter, that will tell you exactly what to do about every problem that you have as a black person.
Yes, sir.
That's the kind of book that we ultimately need.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that it is one book, but I've noticed, and I have this thing about the number three, that's just me. But you have
I just have three volumes of the same book.
So that's correct.
One is the original.
Yes.
And the other is a revised, expanded edition. Now, I recommend the revised expanded edition because it takes in just about everything that's in the original. But some people say they like the original because it's easier to read, and it's not like the 2016 edition that duplicates a lot of stuff, which it does. It repeats a lot of things that it said in other mm-hmm. parts of the book. And it's easier reading, and some people just say they just like it because it's handier and it's cheaper. But the revised expanded edition has more in it. And then
yes.
there's an additional book called the Counter Racist Word Guide, showing you
yes.
how to use words,
exactly.
how not to use words, and very important, what questions to ask when people
yes.
use certain words. Like, for example, the question, the term American, which we use that term all the time. But what exactly is an American? You know, when you see a person wearing a cap saying MAGA, you say, what is that? And they say, make America great again. Well, what is America? What exactly is America? And what exactly is not America? So you might have 10, 15, two or three dozen questions about just that one word.
Yes,
America,
sir.
Or even more specific, American. What exactly is an American? When is an American an American? Is an American all the time? Is an American sometime? And what are the characteristics of an American that is absolutely different from the characteristics of someone who is what? Not American.
Yes.
See what I mean? These
yes,
questions
sir.
Are not asked, and they should be, and answered.
Yes.
In a way that you understand what the answers are.
Yes. Yes. This is why I think that the book is so comprehensive, in that it's broken down into three so that you'll know exactly what to do or what not to do, what to ask, and so forth. This is why this book is so good. Anyway, the book can be gotten for those that do not have it or are interested in getting the book at Produce. You can go to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com, and you can get that book and do that. Okay, L.A. L.A.'s in the house. Swa, gotcha. You're on.
Greetings, Mr. Barbie. Greetings, Ms. Mimi Fuller.
Yes, sir.
My question, Ms. Mimi Fuller, is it logical for black people to tell other black people that we are in a war, in the war known as racism and white supremacy? Should we tell that to other black people?
Sure. That's what I advocate. Or you can choose not to. See, everything in the code is optional in the code books. But everything in the universe that's logical, you should go with it. I mean, all the people who disagree with me, they should disagree based on what? Logic. Cause and effect. Things that have already been proven that work. You know, Neely Fuller will say something, you'll say, oh, yeah. Neely Fuller says that will work, and it probably will, but I got something better that works a whole lot better than what he's talking about. Well, that becomes a part of the code automatically. See, the code is generic because it's based on what? The universe, logic. What does Neely Fuller try to follow when he's making sense? He's trying to follow the code of the universe. It's available to everybody. All I do is try to put it in words. I mean, point out different things. The textbook for victims of white supremacy is nothing but a signpost pointing to logic. And logic is available to everybody who will use it. I'm trying to find where is the logic. Logic means cause and effect. What can I do that would be better than anything else that I could do. That's what logic is. What can you do about a certain situation that would be better than all the other things that have come up that you have tried before? Well, you always go with the best thing. It might not be the final solution, because, but you keep trying until you find the final solution. There is a solution to every problem. It's just a matter of finding out what it is, and you have to use logic to do it. You have to go through a process. And what is logic? Trial and error. You try to make a spaceship, and it falls down. You shoot a few things up in the air, and they fall back down. You go back and do what? Say, well, what I did must not have been logical. Why? It didn't work, that's why. Because if it's logical, it'll work. So you just keep trying. Next thing you know, you're walking the surface of the moon. But you wasn't walking that surface the first time you tried putting wings on a bicycle. That didn't work.
It didn't. All righty. Let's see here. Well, I'm in a little bit of a dilemma here. Let me see how I can work this out. Roland R., I'm contemplating how I'm going to get to your question. And then Toussaint in Brooklyn. Oh, yeah. In the house, Bed-Stuy, Flatbush Avenue. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got you. But I'm trying to see here. I tell you what I'm going to do. Mr. Fuller, I tell you what, in about, let me see what my clock says, in about 2 minutes we're going to have to go to the second hour. So what I'm going to do is have you conclude our first hour before we go into the second hour. So I'm going to give these a few minutes to you so that I do not disrespect the callers and the chatter. So these 2 minutes, something that you may want to bring up or something to say. Go ahead, please, sir.
Well, since this is what they call the Christmas season, I have a movie that I look at that is associated with the Christmas season, and that is a movie called Chicago Cab, Hell Cab. In the last 3 or 4 years, I've always looked at this movie near Christmas time. I'm kind of drawn to that particular movie. I've seen the movies like A Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, I think. It's about what they call a noted Christmas movie. It's supposed to have lessons. Because I say that when you look at movies, you're supposed to be looking for the lessons. When you read a book, you're supposed to be looking for the lessons, constructive lessons, things you can learn. You know, one way or another, directly, indirectly. So Chicago Cab is my Christmas movie. Now, it's a movie about a variety of parts of the real world and some of its people at Christmas time, and with the lessons of all kinds that can be learned both directly and indirectly in each scene. Some scenes with more lessons than others. It seems that the very last scene in the movie is what the movie builds up to. Just a few minutes that shows two people, one black, one white, having a conversation that in a seemingly small way thoughtfully steers in the direction of understanding what hope is about and what it means to keep going in the face of chaos, despair, and emptiness.
Okay. All righty. Chicago Cab.
And it comes under another name called Hell Cab.
Okay,
it's about
Hell
a white cab driver.
All right.
It's centered around him and all of the stories that happen in his cab
and his
associated with his cab. And it's very vulgar now, so it's a lot of vulgarity in it, but the vulgarity is placed in a way that's realistic. It's not like some movies where you just put a lot of vulgarity in in it just for the sake of vulgarity.
Okay.
No, it fits. The vulgarity fits. Reality.
All right, thank you, Mr. Fuller. That concludes the first hour of the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller. Thank you for those of you who have listened to the first hour. If you're going to hang on for the second hour of the Counter-Racist Code Show. We'd like to say thank you for those of you that will have to go, but those of you who are going to stay, hey, we got another hour to go. Thank you for listening to the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. The second hour will will start in 5 seconds. Thank you, and welcome to the second hour of the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neely Fuller here on December the 21st, 2021. Thank you for listening. To get in contact with today's show, simply call 516-453-9921. Press the number 1 button if you want to be heard. And please, ma'am, please, sir, give your name to the call screener so that I can get it on my screen and give you a proper name, or your proper name. If I do not butcher it up, I'm going to apologize in advance because sometimes I do that. Seems like it's on the regular, but it's definitely not on purpose. You can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. I'm going to ask that you really don't use that very much because I have a very difficult time in getting to those Gmails, and I am stacked up. And I will get to them if I can before the machine eliminates them, but if you use that, it's just not going to be read. And also, the chat that you can go to by going to blogtalkradio.com and the Produce Justice Show, and you tap that, and then I think there's an area where you can get into the chat. Listen, I just selected chat, so if you're going to use it for me to ask your question, don't do that. Because I, like the one I'm going to do now, I really can't devote as much time as your, or respect the question that you, or give the respect to the question that you may have to ask. Usually they are short, and then I can do that. But please, ma'am, please, sir, it'd be better if you call in and then, you know, get in line and do that. So please, ma'am, please, sir, do that. Thank you, Swa, for your question, and I know that you're on the chat and also on the phone line, so thank you. Toussaint, we're going to get to you here, but anyway, let's do this one. This is a VGQ from Randolph Jr. Here's the VGQ. Black comedians have become very adept at utilizing edutainment to inform black audience about white supremacy. Now, here – wait a minute. Okay, now here is the here's a question, Mr. Fuller. How have white supremacists become masters of psychology, and what would the white supremacists do if they no longer had anyone to subjugate?
Oh, in answer to the first question, you have to use psychology, meaning how controlling how people think or knowing how people think, and being able to have some input in how people think in order to have the system of white supremacy. So the white supremacists, when it comes to racist science, are the masters of that science. And it's become the most potent science, political science, on the planet, stronger than any religion. The religion of white supremacy is the strongest religion in recorded history. It works. The religious system works with fewer glitches than any other religion. They have fewer problems maintaining it than any other religion. Other religions have a real struggle trying to carry out the mission of what the religion is supposed to be about. The white supremacists seemingly just kind of breeze right along. That based around one concept, If you're white, you're born for the purpose of dominating and mistreating people who you classified, you meaning the white supremacists, as being non-white in all areas of activity. And you do it for the purpose of what all creatures do, things for the purpose of three things: having fun, getting glory, meaning being well thought of, and having material gain. So the white supremacist system is superior in all of those fields: psychology, physiology, biology, zoology, every political system. People talk about capitalism, communism, and socialism. The white supremacists master all of those. The white supremacists are the greatest capitalists in the world that the world has ever seen or heard of. They're the greatest communists in the world, and they're the greatest socialists in the world. They're all of them. People saying, well, am I a capitalist? Am I a communist? Am I a socialist? The white supremacist said, hey, when you're a white supremacist, you got control of all of that. I mean, you know, hey, you're all of that. I mean, you don't have to break it down into capitalism, socialism, communism, or any other ism. I mean, Christianity, Republicans, Democrats, you're white supremacists. One title fits all. I mean, you got it all. You got it all. You can't break it down. You got it all. So you just got refined white supremacists and unrefined white supremacists by choice. So even that's a choice. You can be a refined white supremacist or an unrefined white supremacist. Depends on which way you want to go. But, hey, any ideology that anybody comes up with, you're nobody compared to the system of white supremacy. I don't care what you call yourself.
Yes, sir.
That's what you mean by supreme. It's supreme. The supreme political power and religious power of this entire planet called Earth. You won't find a system bigger than that.
Yes. Cho Lo Revolucion says this: there are three types of people according to white supremacy: whites, non-whites, and white supremacists. Accordingly, says to never call a white supremacist a white supremacist, but call them a suspected white supremacist. He got, and that comes from, I had to check it out, but that comes from, and I'm going to spell it, the T-U-I-C-C-S-C. We've been talking about that all along. What is that, Mr. Bobby? That is the United Independent Compensatory Code System concept. T-U-I-C-C-S-C. I like that. I like that very much. Way to go, Cholo Revolucion. Way to go. Toussaint, Brooklyn in the house.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning, Mr. Fuller.
Good morning, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I am actually calling. Well, first of all, I want to say, Mr. Fuller, you're sounding a lot healthier. I'm glad your voice is stronger now. What I wanted to ask, I have a quick inquiry. I wanted to know, is there a way to, like, maybe, I don't know if it sounds weird, but pay for, like, a conversation or be able to ask questions? Like, does Mr. Fuller take interviews? I guess that's a question that can be answered a little later on. But my question today in regards to that suspected white supremacist statement, I've been having back and forth with some of my friends and speaking about trying to clarify whether someone is a racist, not a racist, a white person could be racist or not be racist but practice or participate in the system of white supremacy. So I just wanted to ask, are, according to you, Mr. Fuller, are all white people racist, or do all white people participate in the system of racism?
I'll give a codified answer. In the system of white supremacy, which is the government of the entire world, every white person who is able, and I want to underline able 3-4 times, that word able, every white person who is able to be a white supremacist should be suspected of being one. But they have to be able. Now, what do I mean by able? You have to know your colors. Now, there are some white people on the planet, babies, newborn babies, white, they're white, newborn. So logically speaking, because a newborn baby, white baby, know the difference between one color and another. And I think it's logical to suspect, probably not. The baby is just born, or is just 2 days old, or 3 days old. I don't know at what age the average baby is able to tell the difference between one color and another, and know the value, if there is such a thing as value in one color, in the differences to another. Or the person may be so elderly that at one time they knew all the colors. The person may have been an artist that painted with different type of colors. Or they were in the paint business where they had to know one color from another. Somebody gets on the phone or on the computer and orders some paint. You have to know the color, difference between green and orange. And then they have shades and shades of color. Well, what shade of orange do you want? You want light orange? You know, you want pinkish orange? It might even have something like that. Or you're in the paint business. So you would know one color from another. But the point is, you have to know one color from another, which that's what the word able means. But in answer to the question, in the system of white supremacy, and according to the counter-racist code, every person who is classified as white should be suspected of being a white supremacist if that person is able to be one. And of course, by able you mean they have to know one color from another. You cannot be a white supremacist and you don't know your colors.
Okay.
That's
just code.
That's right in the code book.
Mm-hmm. All righty.
So you never call a white person a white supremacist or a racist. Never. Unless that person says that that's who they are. Then you can call them that because they said that's what they are. But you always say, I suspect you could be one. In fact, the person that you work with every day, you know, might ask you straight up. I'm going to give this as an example. Do you think that I'm a racist? Now, this is a white person that you work with every day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you think, you talk like you think that I might be a racist. Do you think that I'm a racist? You're sitting right there in the booth next to you every day. Been working with you for years. According to the code, you can say, if you really do think that, you can just say, yes, I suspect you could be one. I don't know whether or not you are one, but I suspect you most likely are one because you're in a racist system. And the logic is, I don't know of anyone having made a list of all of the white supremacists on the planet by name and address and who they are, and probably have their picture. I don't know who they are. So in the system of white supremacy, it means that somebody's got to be a racist. But who is that somebody? See, everybody says that racism is out there. That's another expression that they use. I don't use it. Oh, yeah, racism is out there. Well, that calls for a question. Out where? Racism either is or it isn't. Everywhere. And somebody's got to be a racist. So it comes down to who. Who is and who isn't. So in answer to the question, you suspect every white person who is able to be a racist could be one. And that's how you say it.
Yes,
in
sir.
Any meeting, Capitol Hill, Moscow, London, Paris, Zimbabwe, that's how you say it. You don't say it any differently. Every white person should be, if you're a victim of racism, suspected of being a white supremacist if he or she is able to be one.
Yes, sir.
That's a requirement.
Requirement.
So
okay.
It's logical. It's logical. It's not personal. It's business.
All right. Thank you, Tucson from Brooklyn. Don't be a stranger. Thank you very much. Let's see. Let's go to the Gmails. Mr. Fuller, this comes from David. He says this, Mr. Fuller, who is the creator and how can black people apply the Bible to constructively produce justice?
In answer to the first question, the creator is the creator. That's it. And what's the second question? How can the Bible...
Wait a minute. Let me see if I can get it in here. And how can black people apply the Bible to constructively produce justice?
Well, you apply the Bible to constructively produce justice by doing what? According to compensatory counter-racist logic. You apply the Bible to produce injustice by applying the Bible to produce justice. And if you produce justice by using the Bible, there's your proof. Your proof of what? That the Bible can be used to produce justice. Why? Because you did it. That's why. Now, if you don't do it, it's still a question mark. But you can try to use everything that you think will do it.
Okay.
Anything or everything that will help produce justice, do it. And it either produces justice or it doesn't. That's your proof. You don't have to check with nobody. You'll know it when you got it.
Yeah, you'll know it, that's for sure. All right. Going again to the Gmails. This comes from Lungizi in South Africa. By the way, there are more than 10 to 20 countries around the globe that actually listen to this program. I have some statistics to back that up. I was even surprised that even in Qatar. Yeah, even in Qatar, Denmark. Wow. This comes from him. This is what he says here. Dear Mr. Fuller, I hope you are well. Mr. Fuller, what is the compensatory definition of the concept, quote, power? Enjoy the rest of your day. Kind regards from South Africa, Mr. Lungizi.
Well, power for a person means being able to do whatever it is you want to do. The word power can be used in a lot of different contexts. So if you put it in the context of power for a black person, it means you are no longer subject to the system of white supremacy. That's when you have power. if you're subject to the system of white supremacy, it means you're just a prisoner of war. You don't have any real power. You get your power from the white supremacists. Why? Because they still hold you as prisoner of war. So, depends on what context you're using. I have power over picking up a pencil off of a desk. I have power over choosing to sit in a chair or lie in a bed if I have an option of the chair and the bed and nobody else is around. I have power to make that decision. All people have power, but it depends on what context you're talking about. You're born with power. You couldn't be here without power. Every individual has power, but how much power in what context? Power in order to do what? But no person should have more power than they need, except to do what people were created to do, and that is to produce what, logically speaking, constructive results. That's the only kind of power that any person should have. A person, when that person is producing constructive results, then that person should have the power to do what? Produce constructive results. If the person is doing anything non-constructive, that power shouldn't exist for that person.
Mm-hmm. Okay. VGQ from James McLaurin says this. Anti-sexual people try and be something they're not and seem to want to seduce others into being like them by playing make-believe male and female roles or using so-called word homophobic if their victims become deceived and confused by what the antisexual person represents. Antisexuality, non-constructive, non-productive, genderization, specifically demasculation and defeminization of non-white people is in support of strengthening the system of white supremacy, even in their unawares. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, Mr. Bobby, for listening. Mr. Fuller, it was his VGQ. In your experience, as you have seen this and you have written about a lot of things concerning the strengthening of the system of white supremacy, would you agree with this statement?
Well,
or what does the code say?
I'll just say what the code says.
Okay.
That the white supremacists are using all forms of sexuality, anti-sexuality, whatever. Whatever people are doing of color that is in any way, directly, indirectly, involved in sex, the white supremacists are using it full force in every way they can, including black, white, male-female interaction, to support the system of white supremacy. Transgender, queer, all of that. They are not going to participate unless it's in support of white supremacy, even though they will make it look like it's not in support of white supremacy. They are not going to do anything in any area of activity, and particularly sex, when it comes to non-white people, unless it's going to be in support of the system of white supremacy. It's going to make white supremacy stronger and make the non-white people weaker, particularly in their minds. It's going to make them more confused. Anything that adds to confusion in any area of activity, politics, religion, economics, education, but particularly sex. The white supremacists figured out a long time ago if you can confuse people sexually, you can very easily confuse them about everything else once you get them confused sexually. Sex is extremely powerful. People have sexual inclinations that are off the hook. Why? Because they're supposed to have. You know, you can't produce other people without a strong sexual drive of some type. You have a weak sexual drive, you know, the people become weaker and weaker. You know, low sex drive, low production of other people, and people will disappear. You get down to zero, because some people are born with zero sex drive and stay that way. When they look at other people being interested in sex, they don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, it's all a bunch of weird activity. I mean, one person getting on top of another, I mean, you know, it looks crude. I mean, and you look at it that way, it is.
Uh-huh.
I mean, what's that all about? That's a bunch of foolishness. Why can't they find something better to do than that? I mean, looking forward to that ain't nothing to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a person that has no sex drive. Then some people just have, most people have what you call average sex drive, which is called, that's why they call it average. And then some people have sex drive that is off the hook. They got to have marathon sex. Now, the code speaks about that, too, because marathon sex has got to be something that, hey, you got to siphon some of that energy off in another direction.
Correct.
So why? Because you spend, all you do is just spend all your time running from one bed to another.
Hmm.
And that means you're taking up time by doing that you don't have time to do other things, because other things need doing.
Point in the chat room, Produce 21 just mentioned anything that can be weaponized, expect it could be and will be used to maintain white supremacy. Outstanding.
Sex is one of them. It's been weaponized.
And sex is one of them.
And all of that confusion about sex has been weaponized all the way by the white supremacists against non-white people of this planet.
Exactly. Before I go to the East Coast here, FM Yako asks this. Greetings, Mr. Fuller. Can justice be produced through constructive filmmaking in dignified storytelling of people of African descent? I'm still listening.
Sure. I have a movie list that I recommend, but most of them don't have black people in them at all, visually. Most of them. No black people. But the lessons are there. You look for lessons everywhere. You look for lessons when you pass a tree and you look at that tree. A tree is a lesson. Everything that's going on is a lesson. So some people might have questions. They'll say, well, it's supposed to be, you know, I don't know if he's Afrocentric or what, or he's anti-black. I mean, but he got a list of movies. It's all a bunch of old white folks. And some of the movies are old and disinteresting, too. I mean, you know, and he got a few movies about black people, but, man, it's a whole lot of movies with black people. Movies made by black people, for black people, all about black people. And he got very few of them. It's about three or four. Out of about 50 movies, I know someone somewhere is saying that. But I'm saying, if you're a prisoner of war, you study the people who have made you prisoner more than you study the people who are your fellow prisoners. You already know just about everything you need to know about them. I mean, you know, because one thing you do definitely know is that regardless of what they did before they got in prison, they're in prison now. And when you look at your fellow prisoners, you say, oh, just like Andrew Dufresne in the movie Shawshank Redemption, that's the lesson there. He wasn't studying the rest of the prisoners except just peripherally, you know, just enough to know how they think so that he could kind of stay out of their way mostly. Mostly, I mean, of the sodomizers who were in there. That was all they wanted to do, try to stay out of their way. But mostly he was studying what? The warden.
The warden.
Which is what you do. If you're a general, you study your opponents. You already know about your fellow soldiers. Not a whole lot that you need to spend time you need to spend studying them, except to correct their errors when you see them as an error. But most generals want to know what their enemies are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you're not going to make it as a general.
You are not, exactly. Okay, let's do this. You are now listening to the Counter-Racist Code Show with Mr. Neil E. Fuller, Jr. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to get in contact with the show in the last half hour, simply dial 516-453-9921. Press the number one button if you have a comment or question. Please make it brief. Chat room is available. You can go in there by going to blocktalkradio.com, hit the Produce Justice Show, and then an icon will come up where you can enter into the chat room. Or you can also Gmail me at the numeral 7, Mr. Bobby. The numeral 7. Wow. MrBobby@gmail.com. And, ooh, almost forgot that. And I will, it will go into a section so that it can be asked at a certain time, and I will email you when that date and time is, as I've been reading a few this morning. So thank you for listening as we wrap up the last 28 minutes of the program. Let's do this. Okay. East Coast. Didn't say where. Hotep, you're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead, please. Hotep, going once. Hotep. Okay.
Sorry, I have my mute on. I'm right here.
Okay. Alrighty.
Yes, I didn't want to disturb. Yeah, thank you all for having me on, Mr. Fuller. Great to meet you, and thank you for your humility and brilliant concepts. I'm going to be very brief. Since Homo sapiens are over 200,000 years old, some of us left Africa, ended up in Europe, et cetera. Our phenotypes in some cases changed, and then we became, many of us, enslaved to English, Saudi Arabian, French, Portuguese, et cetera. Is it possible for us to find freedom and happiness using the languages and the clothing? And by the way, I'm guilty of this also, so I'm just asking you. Of the enslaver class, or should we pursue Yoruba, Wolof, Taino, Olmec, and learn our true history and culture prior to enslavement by Saudi Arabians, Arabians, and the white supremacist psychos? Thank you so much, sir.
All righty. There's a lot there to digest, Mr. Fuller, but go ahead, if you can.
I don't know.
Okay.
But if you can find something in history, it comes down to what is the purpose of studying history. And according to the code says the purpose of studying history is to find out where the mistakes were made that brought about problems that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
So when you study anything, whether it's history or sociology or whatever, the whole purpose for studying anything is to solve problems. What problems? The problems that you have facing you. At the time that you have those problems facing you that you have to solve. So if you can study something in history that will solve your problem that you have right now, you got a problem. You got a problem that's happening right now. And there's something in some history book somewhere that will tell you what to do about that problem because somebody took care of that problem 1,500 years ago, then you do what that person did to solve
mm-hmm.
that problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's logical. That's why I say follow the logic. See, it's nothing about, you know, the details of history, talking about Portuguese history, who went where, and who did this and who did that. The only reason for studying anything in the year 2021 for anybody, just keep two words in mind. Solve problems. And two other words. In order to do what? Two other words. Constructive results. Solve problem. Constructive result. Constructive result. Solve problems. The only reasons for studying anything at any time, history, sociology, physiology, biology, it's all about solving problems. Black people have a long reputation for being problem makers, not problem solvers. But if we latch on, does this help solve a problem? That's the question. When you're talking to someone, what problem does this help solve? This that you're talking about. And if I do it, what problem will I solve? That's when you're talking to anyone. That cuts right to the chase, right? And it cuts right to the bone.
Yes.
And it panics a lot of people.
Anonymous.
Yes. When you ask about, you know, what constructive result will this produce? Now a whole bunch of people start stumbling and fumbling.
Yes. Anonymous just wrote, is following logic will produce constructive results?
Always has.
Got it. Got
and
it.
How do you do that? Questions and answers.
Question
There's
and
never
answers.
Been a problem solved in the known universe that wasn't solved through the process of what?
Questions and answers.
Questions and answers. That's all everything is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why if you get in the habit of asking questions, question after question after question. No such thing as too many questions. Sometimes people will tell you that. You're asking too many questions. No such thing as too many questions. Why is that, logically speaking? Because all problems are not solved. That's why.
I like what you said. Follow the logic. Period. Follow the logic. Okay. Let's go. Oh, by the way, Mr. Fuller, while we were doing what we were doing, I just read a review by Roger Ebert on the Chicago cab, also called a Hell Cab, I believe, 1997.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
That that's the name they gave to it later. I'm guessing now because Chicago cab sounded too bland, so they wanted to make it like a horror story,
yes.
Hell Cab. And
yes.
A lot of review writers, some of them, including, I'll say one at least, when I looked at the DVD that I have and looked at the back of the casing, it gave a overview of what the movie was about. And I didn't think the review was very good because it didn't capture the essence of what I had seen when I looked at it. It made it sound like it was just a type of Frankenstein horror movie, that type of movie, or Cujo or something like that. These movies where they show this doll that, you know, Chucky or something.
Yeah,
no, it's not that type of movie at all.
Yeah.
So the review that I gave earlier, I think, would be a better review for them to put on the back of that DVD because it's a very thoughtful movie, even though it's a lot of vulgarity in it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot, but the vulgarity is not overdone.
Okay.
I can spot that. There's a whole lot of movies, most of them with black people in them, and this movie does have black people in them. But most movies with black people in them has vulgarity that you can tell that the vulgarity was put in the movie for the sake of just having vulgarity. It didn't really fit.
It didn't fit.
I mean, it was just force feeding it. And I think that's the strongest respect to white supremacists that are blamed for that.
We can do that. Okay, in remaining moments, let me get Clarence in here. Torrance. My bad. Get me, man. I messed up your name. But anyway, Terrence, go ahead, please, sir.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Bobby. Good morning.
Good morning, Fuller.
Good morning.
Good morning,
I just want to test something. Good morning. I want to test something that I was told by somebody I respected, and I want to test it against the code. This older gentleman told me that if I can't realize my ideas, that I need to idealize my reality. And so being in this system, is it constructive to try to idealize the reality that I'm in?
What do you mean by idealize?
I mean to make it my goal. Instead of having a certain goal that I can't reach, look around me at what I can obtain and make that the best situation.
And what is your goal?
Any particular goal, but I would think based on what we're talking about, my goal now is to become universal man.
Oh, well, you can't become universal man in the system of white supremacy, which means that your goal has to be the route to getting there, universal man.
Okay.
And that is, you first of all, get rid of the system of white supremacy, and you have to do that by having a code.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to do. See, I'll just be a victim of white supremacy. I'll die a victim of white supremacy most likely. I mean, I just got a few short years left. So I'll just die a prisoner of war. But you do the best you can within the prison. That's why? Because that's where you are. You do the best you can to not be a prisoner of war until you no longer can do whatever it is you do to not be a prisoner of war. Prisoners of war have one goal, to not be prisoners of war.
Hmm.
And after they're no longer prisoners of war, then they can be something else.
Yes.
But if you're a prisoner of war, your main goal is to not be a prisoner of war, which means you have to do something about your prison situation.
All right.
That's the logic.
That is the logic.
You can't be where you're not. If you're at the bottom of the ocean, I mean, that's not like being at the in the desert. So you have to deal with the ocean. Why? Because that's where you are.
Yeah, good point. Thank you, Terrence, for your question, and I don't have to tell you not to be a stranger. Let's get some holler from the dollar, and the dollar's in New York. Dollar Bill, you're on with Mr. Fuller.
Hey, can you guys hear
me
well? Because I'm on some buds, and I just want to know.
Yeah, go ahead, Dollar Bill.
Oh, man, I'm so glad to be speaking with you this morning and hearing these most marvelous thoughts that I've been hearing this morning. So I'm going to keep it short because I just want to know, Mr. Fuller, you just said that you need a code, and that's what you've been saying, that you're trying to get this code together. So my question to you is, in all of your years in implementing the code that you have, what else is needed to destroy the system of racism, white supremacy?
More code.
What have you noticed that – what? What besides the code? I mean, to me, it sounds like you have a blueprint to build the building, but you don't have no bricks. You don't have no mortar. You don't have those things. So what do you say to us with your code? What else is needed?
Code, more code. See, I'm feeling my way like all other prisoners of war. You just do whatever you can do that works. And you find something, you try something and it doesn't work, and you keep trying and it doesn't work, then you try something else, and that works better than what you were trying, then you stick with what works better. And you keep doing that. That's what inventors do. And black people, you know, everybody is an inventor, meaning every day you invent something when you solve your problem. You're inventing, if you want to use that word, but it just means problem solving, anything that solves a problem and produces a constructive result. Those are the two words to center on. Whatever you do, does it produce a constructive result? Does it work for you or against you? And you eliminate all the things that work against you and stick with the things that keep working for you. It's just that simple. And it's not, you know, you mentioned bricks and mortar and all like that. That's the bricks and mortar. That's everything. Anything that produces constructive results. That's all you have to center on. I don't care how you word it. At the end of the day, just say, what did I do today that produced a constructive result? And what mistakes did I make that I do not want to make again?
Yes.
Okay. And if every black person does that, hey, you got all the wind you need in those sails.
All righty.
Constructive results. Center on that.
Constructive results. Thank you.
Yeah,
follow
that's the whole
logic.
Code right there. Constructive results. Whatever produces constructive results.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dollar Bill. Don't be a stranger. Monica, Brooklyn, you got... Oh, wait a minute. Monica, Brooklyn, there you go.
Hello?
Yeah, you're on with Mr. Fuller. What's your question?
Hi. Hello, Mr. Bobby. Hi, Mr. Fuller. Mr. Fuller, I'm in the... this is the Word Guy. And I just want you to review the word respect, because it says use this word with caution. I personally try not to use that word disrespect, but I want to use this more as a learning tool. Can you give us a review or an explanation of the word respect?
What page are you on, dear?
Oh, okay. I'm on page 337.
Okay. 337 in the Word Guide?
Yes.
Okay.
337 Word Guide.
Yes, sir.
Respect.
So I guess my question is, do you think it's a good idea to use the word respect?
Sure, depending on the context in which you use it. Context meaning, what's the definition of it? What's the definition of the word respect, the compensatory definition that's in the book?
It says use it only to apply to self-respect. When speaking of self-respect, define it as
I'll say what it is briefly.
Okay.
Respect is refusing to lie to yourself.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Hmm.
And so it's only one type of respect, and that is self-respect. In other words, no one can disrespect you. That's impossible. You can disrespect yourself. And how do you do that? Telling yourself a lie. Telling yourself something that you know is not true. Now, when other people lie to you, that's not the same thing. But when you lie to yourself, you have disrespected yourself. And that's the only kind of respect that matters. Other people who so-called give you respect, that doesn't even exist. No one can give you respect according to compensatory counter-racist logic. And this is very important because black people go around saying, they won't give me no respect. They won't give me no respect. Some black people put their gun in their belt and say, that dude disrespected me. I ain't going to put up with that. I ain't going to be disrespected like that. He dissed me. He dissed me, and I ain't gonna take it. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. Why? Because he dissed me. Now, according to the code, that is infinite insanity on the part of that person. You have completely lost your mind. Why? For one thing, you're asking for something from someone else that you're supposed to only get from yourself. You always got it. When you don't lie to yourself, you got all the self-respect and all the respect you'll ever need, ever. Because that's the only kind that counts. The only kind that counts is the one that you give yourself. That's so-called flimsy stuff that you ask for from somebody else is just that. Just a bunch of flimsy nonsense. And it doesn't even exist. They can't give it to you. Respect comes from yourself. Now, we sometimes confuse respect with courtesy. Now, that's two different things altogether. A person says, you disrespected me, meaning, was the person discourteous to you? The person called you a name. You say, yeah, that's what it was. That's disrespect. No, that wasn't disrespect. You give respect to yourself. That was that person being discourteous. Now, how do you react to a person being discourteous? You react with courtesy. That's the antidote.
That's the antidote.
The reaction to discourtesy is courtesy. You never let anyone be more courteous than you in any crowd. The more discourteous they are, the more courteous you become.
Mm. Wow.
That's the way it works. That's the way I do it. It's impossible for anyone to throw me off balance by being what you call discourteous. It's courteous. How do you be discourteous? By name calling, telling some, you know, a vulgar joke and got everybody laughing at you or something like that. You might say that's being or stepping on your foot. That's a physical thing. And didn't say excuse me. People get killed on the subway platform about that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you say excuse me. You always show courtesy if you step on somebody else's foot. But if somebody steps on your foot and they look around you and glaring at you like, I dare you to say something. All right? Now, they're being discourteous, and they were also physically discourteous because they did do something physical. They stepped on your foot, and they didn't say, I'm sorry. All right?
Hmm.
And
yeah.
But what you do is say absolutely nothing. Why? That gets the most constructive result. That's why.
That's why. Thank you. Thank you so much, Monica. Very good question. Don't be a stranger. Transcendent, thank you for asking your question for next week. I got it written down or got you scheduled, so thank you. Thank you. Helen B. Man, NYC is working it today. Helen B., let me see if I can get you in here quickly. NYC, Helen B., you're on with Mr. Fuller. There you go. You're on with Mr. Fuller. Go ahead with your question quickly.
Hi. Can I be heard?
Yes, Helen B., go ahead. You only got a few minutes.
Hi. Okay, I'm on page 290 on the Word Guidebook.
290,
what
okay.
What does he mean? Yeah. What does he mean when he says pleasing company? Can he explain that?
Okay, wait a minute. 290? Okay.
Yes, on the Word Guidebook.
Okay, on the Word Guide.
In the Word Guide, 290.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Pleasing company.
I have to look that up. I got the Word Guide here.
Oh, pleasing company. I say pleasing company. Is that it?
Correct.
Is that it? Is that it, Helen B.?
Yes, correct.
Okay, Mr. Fuller, right in the middle of the page.
Okay, I'm trying to find it here. Sometimes I'm a little bit slow. Bear with me here.
Okay.
290. I got 298. Okay, here we are, 290. And, okay, what word we're dealing with here?
Pleasant slash pleasing company, right in the middle.
Pleasant slash pleasing company. Racial. Use this term mostly to apply to those white people whom you suspect may be white supremacists, but are, for the most part, pleasant, pleasing, and or comforting to talk with, listen to, look at, and or be in the company of. Now, that's the definition. That's all. It's self-explanatory. Now, what questions did you have about it?
Well, if you wanted to elaborate on it. Yeah, if you wanted to elaborate on it, if you wanted to explain a little bit more about it.
I don't think there's anything else to explain. You can use this term mostly to apply to those white people whom you suspect may be white supremacists, but are, for the most part, pleasant, pleasing, and are comforting to talk with. And you listen to them, it says so. They're pleasing to talk with. I've been around white people who I thought were racist, but they were comforting to talk with. They are pleasing to talk with and listen to. They give me constructive advice that I could use to produce what? Constructive results. But they were still, I suspected, were racist. So these are the kind of racists you want to be around. People who will give you information that you can use. Now, the person is a racist. You may have heard that they are racist. You may have heard that they tell what you call nigger jokes, all right, and all this type of thing. But the person is still, when they're around you, they are very pleasant. They are very pleasing in their manner. See, so, and the main thing is, do they tell you things or say things to you that you can use to produce what? Constructive results. Now, I want to say that every time about everything, because that's what I'm a bottom line everything with when I'm talking about counter-racist codification, when I'm talking about anything. Just those two words. Keep those two words in mind. Constructive results. You get up from the dinner table and you just want to know, now, this food that I ate, this Christmas dinner, is it going to produce a constructive result? Look
That's
around.
That's a good
it.
Question.
Yeah, just remember what you just put in your stomach here on Christmas Day and ask yourself, if everything that I put in my stomach here on Christmas Day, including all those bottles that somebody brought in, if I drank anything out of those bottles, is it going to produce a constructive result? But getting back to the question that was asked, same thing with conversations with anybody,
okay,
white or non-white. When you get, when you walk away from them, do you walk away with a constructive result of that conversation?
Of that conversation. Got to leave it there because we're just about out. Thank you, Helen B. Thank you, callers, for listening. Thank you for all your calls, your Gmails. Remember this, in order to hear, you have to learn how to listen. Again, in order to hear, you have to learn how to listen. Mr. Fuller, thank you for your contribution and your answering the questions. Thank you so much. Thank you, all the callers, for all the things that you've done. We got about 30 seconds. So, Mr. Fuller, I'm going to give that 30 seconds to you. ProduceJustice.com, by the way. Go ahead.
Well, I started off this 2 hours kind of emphasizing my, since they say that this is the holidays, of course, all days are holy days. They are whole days. You use them the same way, and that's to do what? Produce constructive results. But, like I said, I have a quote-unquote Christmas movie, and I'm thinking that if people can download it or something or get it cheap or something like that, you might look at Chicago Cab and see what you think about the lessons in it, particularly the last scene, which I say makes the whole movie.
Okay.
Of this conversation, just a few minutes of conversation between a black girl and a white girl.
All right. All righty.